Take your Bible. Turn with us to Ezekiel chapter 37. The Bible says in verse number 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the skin came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." I want to preach tonight just a few minutes on this, if God will be our help, on a wind of revival. Amen? A wind of revival. The very breath of God that would breathe on us, that would breathe on anybody, that would send something into us that we don't have. Amen? We see how God begins to make things, and we all know about creation, how God created man in the garden, and how he took him up out of the dirt, as the Bible tells us, Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 7. And so it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." What caused man to become a living soul? The breath of life. The breath that comes from God. I want to say, until we get that breath of God, we're just without. Amen? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm alive, but without the breath of God, praise the Lord, there's really no life in us. As I said this morning, we're just dead men walking." But praise God, when the life of God comes upon us, praise God, it begins to minister to our hearts. And it's that precious word of God that makes a difference in us. Amen. That we can take and apply to our own hearts and our own lives, and we can see God moving in a mighty and a wonderful way. The Bible teaches us that that's the scriptures, it's the very word of truth. Amen. The word, when written, praise God, according to what the Bible teaches us, is the very breath of life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "All scripture given by inspiration of God." That means it is God-breathed. It means your Bible is breathed from God. Amen? That's what that word inspiration means. That means that it's breathed from God. That's God-breathed. And he said, "It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, child of God, the person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Amen? He said, praise God, he said, through God Almighty, through the Spirit, through the Word of God, God makes us to become adequate to be pleasing to God. Without the Word of God, we can do nothing. That's why the world's such a mess today, because we've turned our back on the very thing that can help us. We used to have the Bible. We used to have it in our home. We used to read it at night. We used to have it in our schools. It used to be our textbook to learn to read. Amen? And we decided that we didn't need God no more. We decided we'd do it on our own. And Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Amen? We messed up and we turned Jesus off and turned the television on. Amen. God help us. We've been distracted by the things of the world, and we forgot who's important and who's in charge. And it's through the inspiration that's given to us through the Word of God that manifests itself, that it is proper doctrine. That's biblical instruction. Amen. Teaching for reproof, praise God, which shows us the error of our ways and the goodness of God, and for correction, to correct us when we're going in the wrong direction. How many times in your life have you took off in the wrong direction, you didn't realize, and then God brought it to your attention? Amen. Oh, me. Praise God. I'm glad He did. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad there's Holy Ghost conviction, and it's brought by the Word of God. Let me say, it took the Word of God to convict me of my sin, show me as a little seven-year-old boy that there was an awful place called hell, and I knew I didn't want to go there. Amen. It's an awful place. It's a horrible place. It was designed for the devil and his demons. Praise God. Jesus never intended, God never intended, Holy Spirit never intended for you and I to go there. So He made us a place called heaven. And Jesus said, praise God, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But we at may be also because we got to choose Him so that we can go there. Amen. Praise God, that precious breath of life that breathes upon our heart, it offers a correction, but it also offers us instruction. That's biblical training, amen? What's wrong with the world today? We don't have no adequate, because we've forgot about the biblical training that we need for our children, for our lives, and for our homes. The Bible says in Proverbs, to raise up a child, to bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Amen. If you don't bring them up and teach them the Word of God and the truth of the Word, then when they're older, they don't have nothing to go back to. Amen. Man is rebellious. We are rebellious. Children are rebellious. Amen. And we rebel a lot of time, but praise God, if there's a substance in us that we can go back to, God will bring it to our attention. So we put this Word and we instill it in our heart, praise God, and it makes the difference. Praise His name. So He said it's for instruction, that biblical training. It's for training in righteousness. And I've said before, that's just right living. Living, praise God, that's pleasing to God. If we, church, listen to me, if we'd stop and take time sometimes just to ask ourselves when we start to do that, if that will be pleasing to God. Amen. Will God get glory out of this? Amen. And if He doesn't, if He won't, if He can't, then we ought to leave it alone. Amen. You say, preacher, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Amen. If what we do and what we say and how, like we said this morning, how we act and react won't be pleasing to God, we ought to go a different direction. You say, how do we do that? By asking God to help us, by believing this blessed book. Amen. By asking God to manifest Himself through the Word of God. He said that we have this, the altar given by His grace, God and His proper doctrine for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. Now watch this, verse 17. That the man of God, He's talking about humanity as a whole, men, women, boys, and girls, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, that's fully equipped, amen, unto a good work. So adequate work to be pleasing to God. So God says, I have the equipment. But they said, if you're not willing to use it, then you're just on your own. Amen. Listen, you can pull up to a construction site and you're going to build you a house. And if you've got a bulldozer over here and a backhoe over here and a dump truck over here, and you just get you an old wheelbarrow and a shovel and you go at it, praise God, you're going to be there for a long time. But if God Almighty gives that to you, Nahum, and He puts it out there, praise God for you, and you ain't got enough sense to use it, then that's your fault, not His. But praise God when you see it there, and you just begin to praise God, say, glory, hallelujah, I got me a backhoe, and I got me a dump truck, and I got me a bulldozer, and I'm going to build something. Amen. Praise God, we just get the praise and God giving Him glory for what we have, what He's provided. Hello? And He give it to us in a volume of a book. Amen. So we see the breath of God as He's breathing upon us life. And it's life in abundance. Praise God. It makes a difference. We see the breath of life, praise, was given at when man was created. We see the breath of life when God gave us the Scriptures. And we see the breath of life when God empowered the disciples. Remember when God was getting ready to send them out? Amen. Getting them ready, preparing them to go out to work for the Lord. We see in John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20 and verse 19. John 20 and 19, the Bible says this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut about where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Listen, ain't you glad the day that you saw the Lord? I mean, the day that you recognized Him, you realized, praise God, that He was the Lord God of heaven. Praise God, God visually let you see through the Word of God the holes in His hands and the holes in His side and the holes in His feet. Praise God, because He went through all that He went through, praise God, so that you might be saved. Amen. They saw the holes, his hands in his side, praise God. That piercing side where they stuck that sword into his side. And out come blood and water. Praise God. Amen. He said, then said Jesus unto him, verse 21, unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. So whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins are you retained, they are retained. But Jesus, praise God, sent out the disciples, and He breathed upon them, praise God, the breath of God, and they became disciples for Christ. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God moved in their hearts, moved in their lives, praise the Lord, and they began to testify and prophesy and preach the Word of God to everybody they seen without fear and favoritism. Bless His holy name. The breath of God, it makes a difference even today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see, when we see the book of Ezekiel 37, we see God speaking to Ezekiel. And He says that He takes him into a valley that's full of dried up bones. He's speaking of that nation of Israel. And He takes him into that nation. He takes him into that valley of dry bones. And He asked them a question. He said, can these bones live? Amen. I want to say, listen, we see Israel at then as a type of the world today, lost and undone without God, with no thought of God, with no hope in God, with no respect for God, with no guidance from God, with no leadership from God, with no respect for God. Amen. Not looking for God. Don't give up hope. Look at the world that we live in today. There's so many places, so many peoples that have no hope. Amen. I believe one of the reasons so many people are trying to get to the United States is so a place that they might have a pretense of hope. Amen. A hope. And that's why it's so important, praise God, to support these missionaries, stuff we do, that we can send the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ around the world so they can retain hope. Have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see the chosen people of Israel. We see this great nation. Praise God. He said that he's going to be empowered, and it's going to be empowered by God. Listen, if we ever going to have power in the church, praise God, we're going to have power in God. It's going to take the Lord God of heaven. It's going to take the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take the Word of God, amen, to touch our hearts. We need to pray every day, church, that God will touch me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every day before we come to church, we'll pray and say, Lord, please forgive me my sins, and Lord, touch me so that I can reach out and touch you. Amen. So that I can touch other people around me so that they might be touched by God Almighty. Amen. Praise God. We see God moving. The God of breaking in, praise God, even today. And I believe God's wanting to do like the same thing that He said He would do for the nation of Israel. He wants to send a revival. He wants to send out the Spirit of God. He wants to send the Word of God to breathe upon us again. Amen. The power of God Almighty. I don't know about you. I like it when He does that. I like it when people get to bragging on Jesus. I like it when they get to bragging on the Lord. I like it when people get to praising God. He's worthy of that. He likes that. Amen. And He's worthy of that praise. We're not doing it for naught. We're doing it because He is worthy. Because He is God. Because He's our God. Amen. Bible says, besides Him, there's no other. There's none like Him. No, not one. Amen. He is the God of heaven, the God of glory. So the church, praise God, today, we need that touch of God. We need that breath of God to breathe upon us. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says here in Ezekiel chapter number 37, verse 10. Well, in verse number 6, he said he breathed upon them, verse number 5. I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. He said, I will lay sinews upon you. I got thinking about that the other day. That's the things that holds everything together. Ain't you glad God don't ever leave anything out? Amen. Through His Word and through Himself, praise God, He gives us all that we need to hold things together. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they send you upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Amen. I don't want to be dead. I want to live. And I want to live forever with Jesus Christ my Lord. And He said, those that love Him, those that keep His commandments shall never die. Amen. He said, but we shall live. I'm going to live with Jesus forever, praise God. One of these days I may breathe out the life's breath here, but I'm going to take that next one in heaven. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to breathe in heaven, praise God. I'm going to be with the Lord, praise the Lord, forever and ever. I'm going to live. He said, you shall know that I am the Lord. And I know that. Yeah, man, I've seen Him do marvelous and wonderful things. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bone came together, bone to his bone. Amen. I'm glad when we get to pray and we're seeking God's face and God gets to move, and I'm glad there's a shaking goes on. Amen. A shaking down your heart. Praise God. A shaking in the church. A shaking in families. A shaking in communities. When Holy Ghost revival breaks out, praise God, there's some shaking going on. Amen. I'm glad it don't take Elvis Presley to bring it out in us. Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad God Almighty, He shakes things up in your heart. Glory, hallelujah. He gives you something down your heart to get you excited. Yeah. Amen. All this stuff of the world's temporal only lasts a minute or two. But praise God, I'm glad what God puts in there when He gets to shaking you and He gets to loving on you. Praise God. It's just a thing that just keeps coming. And praise God, hey, listen, we might get over it for a moment or two, but then we'll have a spell again. Amen. Praise God. We ought to be having more spells, praise the Lord, than we ever have. Hey, listen, church, we're getting ready to go to heaven. Amen. I believe I was talking to somebody today, and they was lost people. And they was talking about the dispensation of grace. Somebody had told them. Amen. And they asked me, preacher, you believe the dispensation of grace is about over? I said, I act like real dumb, Brother Bill. I said, dispensation of grace. I said, what's that? He said, the time that we're living in, that's, ain't we living in dispensation, time of grace? I said, yeah. I said, where'd you hear that? I said, well, I've heard the Bible preached before. I said, well, you're exactly right. We're living in the dispensation of grace, and I believe it's about over. Amen. It's about time for Jesus to come get us and take us home. Amen. But praise God, until then, I'm just going to live for Him and trust in Him. Praise God. But he said, you say, what makes the difference? Verse number 10, he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. If we won't see the power in the church again, praise God, we're going to have to have the breath of God to breathe upon us. And the only way we'll get that is when we want it with all our hearts. And we say, Lord, please just breathe upon me. Touch my heart. Touch my life. Touch my home. Touch my family. Touch my church. Touch my community. Touch my government. Touch everything, Lord. It's all His anyway. Amen. God Almighty is the King of glory. Amen. He's the Prince in power, praise God, that supersedes the Prince in power of this present world. Without Him, praise God, we can do nothing. But we have the power through Him to do all things and do them well. Verse number 14, he said, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And ye shall, and then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now I read that in your hearing because I want to ask you a question. Israel was not a nation. They was a people dispersed. They was a people that were scattered abroad. But God called them together, and He said, "I'll bring them together again as one nation." Did God do that? In 1948, God made a little nation of Israel again. March 1948, God put them people back in their land, started calling them back to that land. And what I'm saying tonight, church, is God done what He said He'd do. He called them out of desolation. He called them out, praise God, of desolation. He breathed upon them the breath of life. They became a living organism again. Praise God, they became a real nation. God breathed upon. And what He done then, He can do again. If God done, if God's word is fulfilled in that, then He'll fulfill the rest of it. Amen. He'll promise, He'll keep His promises to us. You say, well, preacher, how do we attain it the same way Israel did? The church today. How do we attain what Israel attained to then? How do we have that spirit of revival again in our hearts, in our lives, in our churches, our communities, and in our nation? We have it by three things. Let me give it to you right quickly, and we'll go to the house. Three things that'll give us, praise God, a wind of revival in the breath of God. Number one, it'll be to honor His word. Amen? To honor His word. To honor, to receive God's word, to honor it. In other words, to take it in and believe on His word. He said, preacher, why would I do that? Because we need the light of the word. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? The word of God, he said, it's a lamp. It illuminates where you are. And he said, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only does it illuminate the lamp, illuminate where you're at, but he said, it's a light unto my path. He said, it'll illuminate and show you where you're going. Amen? I'm glad it's that way. And when we honor God's word, amen, He illuminates us where we are. So you start glowing for Jesus. Amen. Living in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, praise God. And He makes all the difference. He gives us that help and the hope and the confidence that we need, that you need, that I need, to be a child of the King, to proclaim the blessed Savior and what He's done for me. Amen. I'd be nothing without Him. Lost without God. But praise God, I'm glad He come forth and saved my soul. Amen. So we need to honor the Word of God. Amen. And then we need to pray. We need to talk to God. Let me ask you a question. How often do you talk to God? I mean sincerely talk. I'm not saying, Lord bless this food I'm about to eat. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about actually just talking to God. Just take some time to just talk to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. To talk to Him. If we'll get sincere with talking to the Lord, He'll get sincere with helping us. Remember what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now Solomon had already built a new temple. And he is offering it up to God. He had given this temple to God. He was dedicating this temple to God. And he had finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And he was offering up to the Lord. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And he says this in verse number 13. He said, if I shut up heaven, now this is God speaking. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Those are all could be devastating things. Amen? You say, well, preacher, if all that's coming at us, it's coming from God, what can we do? What can we do? Pray. Pray. He says in verse 14, he said, if my people, that's born again believers, by the way. Amen? Which are called by my name. Now watch this. Shall humble themselves. So we don't need to wait till God humbles us through all of this oppression. Praise God. We need to humble ourselves before God. When we say, Lord, I'm nothing, but You're everything. Lord, I love You and I know You love me. And Lord, I know that You can help me. I know that I need help every day. Hey, let's don't ever get heady and high-minded and think that we don't need God. That you don't need God because you need Him every day. Amen. The devil will take your heart, your home, your mind. He'll take everything and run with it if you'll let him. But if we'll humble ourselves, he said, shall humble themselves. And what? and pray. He said, if we'll humble, we can't pray without being humble. Amen. Realizing, praise God, that God said, come boldly before the throne of grace, but we need to come humbly. Amen. Realizing that Jesus Christ Himself made provision for us to come before the throne of grace. And without the sacrifices He made on the cross of Calvary, you and I couldn't get there. We'd have no means, no opportunity. But He said, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek my face, His face, seek the face of God. In other words, come before Him. Amen. Don't just pray into the air, but pray to Him. Come to Him, praise the Lord. When I pray, and I don't know how you do it, but when I pray, I always try to focus and I try to perceive myself as looking at the throne of grace and looking at God. Amen. I come before Him just humble as I know how, praise God, and pray and talk to Him just like I talk to you. I try to envision Him as I pray. And then I don't know how you do it, but that's the way I do it. He said, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You can't get to the presence of God. You can't come into the throne room of grace with sin in your life. Amen. He said we have to pray, and when we're praying, we have to ask God to forgive us of anything. We have come in repentance, asking God to forgive us, turning from our wicked ways. That means to repent. That means to turn around, to go in a different direction, and never think about going back. Amen. He said, then, and only then, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Amen. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. He said, I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Praise God. He said, when we come before God and we humble ourselves, all this, He said, it may come. All these things may come at us. All the hardships this world has to throw at us may come. Persecution may come. They're trying to pass bills right now before in our Congress. That will stop. Is trying to stop us from assembling like this to worship God, unless we do it the way they say we can. Can't preach the gospel, nor can't preach the whole volume of the book. They want to tell us that you can worship the Lord, but you got to do this and you can't do that. Amen. They want to specify to us what we can do and how we can worship. Amen. We got to worship God in spirit and truth. That can't be dictated. We can't be. I said today it can't be programmed. And it has to be unto the Lord for His glory. And then the Bible says He will heal our land. Amen. Praise God. It has to happen. It has to be a part of it. So we honor His word and we pray, and then we depend on who? The Holy Spirit, on the Spirit of God to give us direction. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and 14, He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Pretty simple. We have to ask ourselves a question tonight. And I'm talking about a wind of revival. I'm talking about receiving the breath of God. Amen. We have to honor His word, and we have to pray. But we have to. Now listen to me. I want to slow down here just a minute because I want to get this. We have to depend upon the Spirit of God. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, why is that so important? Because that is what is working for you and for me, between us and God right now. It's the Spirit of God. Amen? We have to be walking. We have to be led of God's Spirit. So we'll know how to act and react and how to pray and how to ask what we need to ask and how to live the way we ought to live. Amen. And then God can begin to hear and heal our land. We need God like we've never needed Him before. We need a spirit of revival. We need a wind of revival to blow through here, to blow through Candler, to blow through, definitely blow through Asheville like it's never blown before. Asheville used to be the buckle of the Bible Belt. God help us today, youngins. Now we're called Beer City. Where did we go wrong? They took a plaything out in Weaverville, New Stock Road exit, that they built to entertain, to have a place where kids could go to play. And they it didn't work out for them because they charged too much. I know why it didn't work out. You can't, little kids can't pay $10 to play games for 10 minutes. But they took and somebody bought it and they said, you know what they're going to turn that into? A brewery. A brewery. Right there off of New Stock Road exit. So they're going to take a place where they designed for kids to play and enjoy this world that we live in. And so they're going to take and change it and turn it into a brewery. They've already started working on it to change it into it. You know, they never asked nobody around. They never asked none of us if it was okay, if it'd be all right for them to do that. Amen. They told a lady beside my house that she couldn't put a dog park or a dog daycare there because that they didn't like it, but they can put a brewery right there. Amen. Told Taproot Dairy they couldn't have a place for their calves to grow up in a pasture because they was a school there and had to get rid of the calves. But they can come right across beside a school and build a brewery. And then smell them hops and things, all the things they use there all day long. We're messed up. We need God. We need a touch of God. We need to be led of the Spirit of God so that we'll know right from wrong. Amen. Because the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's God's Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Young as we need the Spirit of God, we need to seek His Spirit, seek the will of God, seek the Word of God, so that we can be led by the Spirit of God in the day and hour that we live. Because I want to say this in closing tonight, there's a whole lot of us, everybody I know of has got a whole lot of things that's coming. It seems like things are coming at the church just in a breakneck speed. Things that we've never dealt with before, things in our families, our homes, our life that we've never encountered before. Amen. You say, preacher, how are we going to get through all that? With the help of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Amen. To minister to our hearts and show us His way. And His way is a good way. But His way is the only way. And His way is the heavenward way. Amen. And we need to see that. And listen, we need the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to show us, amen, how to love each other, amen, so that this world could be saved. Amen. There are our communities, our homes, our neighborhoods, our houses, our churches, our government needs the Lord. Amen. I thought we were turning around. For 3 or 4 years there, it was just like the God was being mentioned every day. Something happened. All of a sudden, that's gone. All of a sudden, you don't hardly hear anybody mention anything about God no more. You see, but see, it just takes a little bit of difference, a little bit of persuasion to change them, you know, one way or the other. But it takes a holy and righteous God to make a difference. Amen. A spirit of revival, a wind of revival, a breath of God. We need it like we've never needed before. You say, preacher, where do you get it? Well, we get it from God Almighty through the Word of God, through the truth of God, through faith in God. And we get it, praise God, and then we can share it with others along the way. I mean, that will be our desire. It'll be that's what we're here for. Amen. If we wasn't going to do that, God just save us, knock us in the head, and take us on home. Amen. But He didn't just do it that way. He chose to save us, lead us by the Spirit, so we can be led, so that we can lead others to Christ, so that they can see Christ in us, that blessed hope of glory, and so they can want to go to heaven too. Amen.